Hallelujah. Jesus rose and he conquered the grave. Let me tell you something tonight. Whatever you are going through, wherever you might be right now, whatever situation or circumstances surrounding you, Jesus, yes, you heard that, Jesus paid it all. He's already conquered. He's already solved it. He's already gone ahead of us. There's one beautiful thing the Bible says about Jesus. It said he's our high priest. Not just a high priest who sits in the judgment throne. No, he sits on the mercy seat. He actually goes before us, before God our Father, who is on the mercy seat. He's there making intercession for us. He's there because he's been there. He's been where you are. He's been touched with every feeling of our infirmity. So wherever you are, whatever your heart is going through, your mind is going through, like someone sent me a text about their wife today to just join to pray. The wife going through surgery. And in the name of Jesus, I know God has conquered the grave. And I know that God, who performed the first surgery, has already sorted it out for my friend's wife that's, you know, texted earlier. So I just want you to know, as we sit back tonight, yes, it's tonight because we're broadcasting live from the city of Liverpool, and it is 12 minutes past 7, and we are digging into the Word of God tonight. We are digging into the Word of God. We want to remind ourselves, this season, this time we're going through right now, across the world, there's a shaking again. We need to remind ourselves that nothing is catching God, taking God by accident. You know, I just always look back, and when I remember that, wait a minute, I've been through things in life and I'm still here. And there is no fear. Whatever I will go through, God has gone through it. God has gone ahead of it. Listen, sit back tonight and let us steer. Let God steer up your remembrance. Stir up the things he has promises. Stir up the things he has done in the past. The lions, the bears that he has helped you to kill that have not killed you. So tonight, we will be looking at what we will call again, remember. Last week, we talked about remember. Again, remember. We are going to be reminding ourselves before the year ends. We want the Holy Spirit to remind us of the Word of God. We want the Holy Spirit to teach, to guide, to instruct. We want the Holy Spirit to remind us of what God has said to us. Things that he has told us to do, we have not done. We want the Holy Spirit to remind us of maybe pathways we have started going on again that we shouldn't, that God has actually delivered us from. We want the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us into the things we need to do before this year runs out, so that we can sow the right seeds and reap a harvest even at this time, next year, or even before the end of this year. The things we ought to do, the things we were meant to do, and the things we ought to do, and the Holy Spirit to show us things to come. So come with me tonight as I will be bringing on a very good, I don't like using the word son, but you see, there's something Jesus said, or rather the Bible said, Paul was teaching, that you have many instructors. In fact, Jesus said, don't call anybody father on this earth. So the word son is just someone you have nurtured, someone that not just nurtured, you've seen the fruit. Someone that have the privilege that my heart, I can say, my heart safely trusts in. Someone I see who has come on a journey, and I see his journey, and I see where he is, and I know where he used to be. I am so proud to bring tonight to study with us and share what God has laid on his heart. And let me tell you why I can call him a son. I can actually literally pick my phone, call him, and he will pick the phone. He will reply me if he can't pick. He you know, just someone that you can trust. Okay, so please join me tonight as we bring into the studio, our virtual studio, tonight, associate professor, not calling him by any title, but he's an associate professor of law. Please welcome with us tonight, Professor Dr. Ohio Omiunu, all the way from Leicester. You are still muted, sir.
Hi. Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, everyone.
You cannot be muted.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And thank you for accepting an invitation.
It's a pleasure.
You know, there's something. Before I share that something, please, you can join us tonight. We want you to participate. If you are on Facebook Live, you can comment. You can participate by asking questions. Or, you know, if anything you remember or anything you want to share or anything that's stirred up in you, please just punch that key and share it. Just text it and put it on there. We know we have a lot of silent listeners. We recognize you also. You see, once in a while, it's very good to get feedback. So if you want to be silently participating, you can join us through the app, sly.do, sli.do. You can Google and just type sli.do. And then it's going to ask you for a hashtag. The hashtag, just type in L-O-V-E-S-L-I-D-O, Love Slido. So you see it on your screen. So you can anonymously put in a comment or ask a question. And, you know, it's always good. People are very confident at times when they ask a question anonymously. Or they ask a question and they know that if someone knows, if someone hears the question, they will know it's them. And at times, that stops people from asking questions. So there's provision for everybody tonight. So join us, sly.do, sli.do, and the hashtag LoveSlido. And also, you can participate on Facebook, Love Assembly Liverpool Live. That's where you're watching us. Welcome into two. So good to see you again, live, online. Thank you, Bemin, all the way from Calgary, Alberta, in Canada. Thank you, everyone, from all over the world where you're watching from. And also, we are on YouTube, Love Assembly Liverpool. So if you don't have a Facebook account, or you know anyone who doesn't have a Facebook account right now, if you go on YouTube and you type Love Assembly Liverpool, please, I repeat, Love Assembly Liverpool, you will see the live stream going on there. So you will see us. You'll see my bearded, co-bearded gentleman and myself on your screen. And yes, there was something that occurred to me today. And in a way, just what happened before we both came on live, Ohio, just reminded me of something that was impressed on my heart about honor. You know, one of the things that God chooses for us, I always say this, and the day it dawned on me, is number one, he chooses the man who will donate, you know, his seed, and he chooses the woman who will release her egg. And, the coming together produces us. That's entirely God's choice. Entirely. How do I know? Children are the heritage of the Lord. Children, heritage of the Lord. If you are born into this world, you are a child of somebody, even if you don't know who that somebody is. But you are God's inheritance. That word heritage is property. So God made sure you won right from the womb and you were born. But the womb that gave back to you, the man that the seed contributed to your birth, they were God's choice. Why? Because there's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for Why God? And God knows the story. He knows the end from the beginning. Right from your womb, God knows you. You are his property. We only just go astray and miss it. So, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about honor. When God says honor your father and your mother, it's not them per se that you are honoring. You are honoring God who chose them. Why? Because God said, look, I'm giving you this commandment. These are the only commandments that comes with promise. Two promises, two in one. It may be, you may live long and it may be well with you. So I was just there and the Holy Spirit just impressed on me. And when these things come to me, I just stop. I literally stop. I pack my car and I listen. And I download what I sense the Spirit of God is saying. Now, somebody might be watching. I don't know my father. I don't know my mother. Or my father is not in my life. My mother is not in my life. Listen, God does not allow vacuums. God will bring a father figure to you. God will bring a mother figure to you. That is God's own way. And that's why he brings us into family. The family, his own family. Takes us out of a biological family and puts us in his family. That family is called church. God's family. A church where you are nurtured. Where you, God now brings people to nurture you. You know, you have, he says he will appoint shepherds after his own heart. So if you are privileged to be in a place where you have people who are nurturing you, those are the kind of father figures that God will allow. Now, Ohio is here online now. I met Ohio in the church. I don't know him from Adam. I still remember he walked in into Love Assembly. How many years ago?
2011.
2011. Let me call my mathematician.
Joshua is our resident.
Oh, yes. Joshua ministering with us tonight in the background. Joshua, 2011. How many years ago was that? 10 years ago. So I met Dr. Ohio. He walked in. I still remember that Sunday. And like I was saying, I know where he was then. And I thank God for the privilege and the honor that God gave us to be there for one another. You've been such a blessing. You've become a confidant. You've become someone I can rant to. So much more that when God was taking you out of Leicester, I cried secretly. I mean, out of Liverpool and you were going to Leicester. But, you know, story for another day. You know, but what I'm just saying is that the Holy Spirit now stopped me. I parked. Listen to this, Dr. Ohio. He said, the day your father or your mother, or your father or mother figure in your life, the day they have to start booking appointment on your busy schedule before you can talk to them or grant them audience. So that's the day your slow descent to dishonoring and disrespecting your parents started. That day, they have to book appointment. You are so busy on your tight schedule. So that's the day. I chose them. You didn't choose them. And, you know, for those of us who have, you know, kind of lost biological parents and things like that, listen, value the people God brings into your life. Because tonight, we are going to be remembering. And once again, if you want to participate, go on Slido anonymously. And please, if you're there, type remember. I want to remember. Type, Holy Spirit, remind me of the things I need to. Type there and say, here I am, Lord. So please, those who can do that on Slido, you have a question based on what I've just said, please start typing the questions right now. Don't wait. We will address them. And if you want to participate on the live feed on Facebook, you can also type comment. Oh, yes. Just type your comment. All right. And yes, Ntutu, thank you again for, you know, acknowledging our warm welcome. And then if you want to be on the YouTube, I think there's the opportunity to say something and type on the YouTube live feed. And, you know, I've got my monitors here so I can see everything. I can see what you're putting on Slido. I can see what people are typing on Facebook. And I can see what people will type on the YouTube. So I can see God's will Lucky. He's saying, good evening, Dr. Uncle Ohio. So Lucky, God will is greeting you, sir. All right. So having said that, I feel honored tonight. I didn't have to book any appointment to catch you and drag you here. Sir, this season, God is reminding me of what happened, the flood, like the pandemic, the ark, Noah having to enter the ark, and then a new earth starting and Noah and his three sons, his wife, and their wives stepped out, eight souls, and God was going to begin afresh with them. But God is reminding me of something. There were three sons. Three. And God is saying, which of the sons do you want to be? Because at the end of the day, one of them raised a cursed generation. Sadly. Do you want to be a Shem? Do you want to be a Japheth? Or do you want to be a Ham? Do you want to be a Shem? Do you want to be a Ham? Do you want to be a Japheth? The choice is yours. It's by choices. Ham was the one who went to expose his father's nakedness. Sadly, the power that God bestows on parents to bless or to curse sadly came. And Noah, with his own what's the word? When a heart is not redeemed, ungenerated. When the heart is not regenerated. With his unregenerated heart, sadly had to place a curse on the guy's lineage, on Ham's lineage. But that wouldn't be a portion. Sir, some things have been laid on your heart. And I want to receive what God is saying to you at this time and saying to somebody who's watching, who's listening, and please ask your questions, type in on Slido, type your comments on Facebook, type your comments on YouTube. Over to you, sir. And I don't know, we prayed together. I've prayed for you. I know God chose you. My spirit was searching and said, Paul Ohio. And I called you. Here you are.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Father Lord, I thank you for I am simply a vessel. In fact, Lord, one of the words you said to me very specifically the day I left Liverpool to start a new journey in Leicester, you actually called me or you referred to me and my wife as donkeys. Not in a derogative sense, but in a sense that we are donkey's feet for the master's use. Lord, I'm here simply to be used by you to relay what you want to say, not what I think.
That's right, sir. Yes, Lord.
Help me to be able to sift my flesh and everything that is just head knowledge. And to say only what you want to say to your people. And to say to me also, because you are speaking to me as well. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. So that word, you know, choose what son you want to be, actually, I saw it in my notes when I got home and I was trying to kind of get myself ready. And I was like, where did I see that? So when you said it just now, I was like, did I really see it? Or... because if I start to scramble through my notes, I might not be able to find it, or perhaps maybe I really did not see it in the physical notes, but I definitely came across that somewhere. And as you were speaking and talking about the my journey and the time I was in Liverpool, just for a little bit of context, when I every stage of my life has, especially in my adult life, I wanted to do something, but then God had other plans. I didn't want to come to Liverpool. The only thing I knew about Liverpool was the football club. I was doing a master's degree at the University of Hull, and I wanted to do a PhD there, but for some reason, I mean, I put all my heart and everything into it to try and get the scholarship, because there was no other way I was going to be able to afford doing a PhD by paying for it by myself. And so the day before the interview, I literally did not, well, I slept, but I stayed at a friend's house. And the next day, a friend from Turkey, the next day, when I woke up, he said to me, "You really want this thing so bad?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Because I was reciting the things that I had prepared for the interview while I was sleeping."
Is that the interview in Hull?
In Hull. Or
the interview for Liverpool? Okay.
The Hull one. Okay. I was reciting everything in my sleep, and I don't even remember doing this. And so I was like, whoa. I went for the interview. It went well, but I got that letter, you know, we're happy to give you the PhD admission, but not the scholarship. But... And I'll never forget where I was that day. My bags were packed, because basically the time was winding down in terms of whether or not I was going to go back to Nigeria or not. And I cried. I wept, you know, and I was like, it was almost like all my best laid plans. In fact, it was, I planned it down to a T in the sense that I came with an extra transcript that I would need. So I had it all figured out. And then I got that rejection letter, and I was so disappointed, so downcast, so I was heartbroken. And I just had God say to me, you know, go on to websites that I've been told about where you can get, you know, scholarships. And I came across Liverpool. Now, the normal process, if you are looking for a PhD, is that you find a potential supervisor first.
Okay.
Have a conversation with them. You have some back and forth with the proposal. You tell them, oh, you feel that they would be the nice, you know, a nice fit, you know, in terms of supervising you. I didn't check anything. I just saw that there was an open position. It was a blank slate. They didn't tie down to any specific topic. And I just took the same application that didn't work with Hull, just removed the cover page, changed the cover page, put Liverpool on it, and I sent it off. And I forgot about it. And my mom was like, well, God, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Long story short, I got the call from them, and it was nothing short of a miracle how it went from how I got the position. And the terms, the offer was 10 times better than what I was hoping for in Hull, which I was disappointed about. And it used to be my story for a long time. I almost built a doctrine around it. And then people ask me about PhDs, I would tell them about, oh, how God made a way for me, you know, in terms of giving me a better offer and all that and all that. And
after a major disappointment.
After a major disappointment, it was, I mean, I cried. That's the only way I can describe it. And about 2 years into the PhD, I remember someone sent me a proposal to like, oh, wow, you're a PhD student, so please, can you look at my proposal? And I looked at the proposal and I was like, why are people coming to me to look at their proposals? Because I'm realizing now that there was really nothing fantastic about my proposal. And so I had to ask God, really, what am I doing in Liverpool? And it was then that it dawned on me that the PhD and the scholarship and all the wonderful offers was just a means. But the real reason that I was brought to Liverpool was to be placed in a family, God's family. So why am I saying this? Sometimes you think that there is something that you are, this is the reason why God is blessing you. This is the reason why a door has opened for you. But we need to remember that God is very strategic, and in everything he does, he has no problems with giving you the, you know, the things, the nice things of life and all that. But there's always a reason why he sends you to a place or where you pass, why you pass through, go through a particular season. Now, the only way to describe me, the me that came to Liverpool, was I was someone looking for direction, and I was basically very vulnerable. In fact, I can say without a shadow of doubt that if I had remained in Hull, I probably would have lost my way. And so God knew that. I didn't know that. I thought I had it all figured out. But he knew that. And so he moved me to Liverpool. He gave me a wonderful package. But I could have focused on, for about 2 years, I was so focused on the blessing and did not realize that there was a reason for the blessing. The reason for the blessing was he wanted to position me for something that was necessary for me to be able to move to the next stage of my life. And speaking about sons, I was not the the easiest of sons to mentor. What came to me was the story of the two sons that the father sends to the vineyard in Matthew 21, 28 to 32. He'd sent two sons. One said he would go. The other said he was not going. The other who said he would go did not go. The one who said he was not going changed his mind and eventually went. And I am that son who said no first, then changed his mind. So, and the reason was I didn't understand this concept of mentorship. I didn't understand the concept of, you know, being discipled. I had grown up in a society, and I had an understanding of church where church was very far away. And I sensed that there is someone here who is watching this. You keep running away from those who God has placed and put in position to guide you. And you see them as a nuisance, or you feel they are interfering with your life. And I was at that point. I've been there. And I'll never forget the day I got to a point and I realized, why am I being stubborn? Why am I being rebellious? Why am I refusing to be, you know, discipled? And the day I had time to have that reflection and I changed course and changed direction, it is one of the best decisions I've made in my life. So I'll say to someone, you might already be perhaps, and I'll use this word carefully, you might be a fringe member of Love Assembly. Fringe in the sense that you come, you attend the services, you are in the house, but you are not yet of the house. I would want to say this to you. You need to change your mind about this, because there is a reason God places us in, the, you know, his family, in his family. There's a reason he sends us to the places where we are sent to. And if you miss that opportunity, it's almost like missing the training that is necessary before an exam. When the exam comes, you will be found wanting, you know, you'll be lacking. You will be exposed. So I just want to really say that to someone. Even you may feel like, the reason I say this is, in that story of the two sons, the son who said I would go, but did not go, it's very easy to be, you know, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, to, you know, your pastors, to your leaders. But actually in your heart, you have absolutely no intention of submitting. And you may deceive them. They may think you are all good and, you know, you are positioned in the house. But God is never deceived about these things. God knows when you actually are far away in your heart, even though it appears with your mouth and everything you say that you are in this particular house. And I just feel that you need to change and be that second son. There may be times you might disagree. There might be times you might, you know, say no, but, you know, once you have the Holy Spirit in you, you always have that compass to bring you back, to the place where He has positioned you. Don't waste an opportunity to be mentored. Don't waste an opportunity to be discipled. Don't waste an opportunity to learn the things you need to learn now. And it's a life, it's a continuous thing for life. It's not just, you know, in one season. I mean, I can imagine that even Pastor Fola is going through a season of mentorship himself. He's going through a season of having to, of, you know, being imparted by someone else. Because we are never islands on our own, and we are always subject to authority. The day you break from that and you are not subject to any authority and you become an authority unto yourself, you are a dangerous person. And sorry that it sounds like a warning, but that's just what came to me. And at the end of the day, it's a case of simply honoring those that God has put in your life. And it could be even your biological parents we're talking about here. And I say this because I see a lot of students, I've come across a lot of students in my time, and I'm sure Pastor Fola too. And one of the major things I tend to find is students who are complaining about how their parents made them study something they didn't want to study. And there's usually a tendency to be rebellious and to try and fight against this, what the parents are saying. But I have seen the impact of not honoring, you know, a parent, a biological parent. I've seen it firsthand what can happen. And I always say to them, you don't want to go down that road. It's one of those things that you don't want to learn from experience, because it will really, it's not a pleasant one. So honor, and it's something that is missing. And it is dying away. It's something that we need to go back. It's a foundation. It's something that, I mean, think about it. Jesus honored his father in everything he did. He honored his father. And the Bible also tells us that we should also honor all men. Jesus honored John the Baptist, for instance. He had no reason to. He could have pulled rank on John the Baptist, but he didn't do that. So honor is very key. I just believe very strongly that honor is very key moving forward. And I felt, you know, for Love Assembly, going back or connecting to our source, I feel it's going to be it's crucial in this season, not disconnecting from our source. As a house, you know, as a family, I feel God is saying we need to make sure we do not disconnect from our source, because, you know, if we do, we lose out on the blessings that come from that connection. And the last thing I would say before I hand over is this. Honoring people in spiritual authority over you is not about worshiping them. It's not about making them, you know, gods. In fact, I yesterday I heard very clearly, you know, that God saying to me that don't let men mold you. The only mold that you've been given as an example, and that's what Pastor Fola was saying at the beginning, is Jesus Christ, our high priest. He is our example. He is the image we are all walking towards. Pastor Fola is here helping. Everything he has poured into my life is to point me towards Jesus, to become his image. And now it's easier said than done, but there are times I find myself doing some things that I realize I have learned from Pastor Fola. So there's a tendency when you subject yourself to authority that does not now supersede the authority of Christ in your life. And I'll close with this example I saw with Elijah and Elisha. I've always wondered why Elisha's, in the early days of his ministry, after he had just taken on a mantle from Elijah, when he received a little bit of stick from some youths, and he called a bear that, mauled them. And I was like, why such a rash response? But then I looked at his mentor and his father, who had his master, who had, called on fire on several occasions on people. But if you look at Elisha later on, Elisha seemed to have gotten into his own self, become a man, his own, who God intended him to be, rather than being the image of his mentor and his master, Elijah. So I would also say that, and why I say this is because there's a lot going on online. There are so many mentors online. There are so many mentors online. All you need to these days is turn on to YouTube or something, and you'll find someone that you would just basically you could plug in there, and you'll miss out that God has given us pastors, given us, shepherds after his own heart. So don't look for hirelings. Stay in the house. Stay in the house.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that, Professor Ohio. There's something I want to say. I was praying this evening. Just my soul was just so restless and all that. So, because everything you are saying now will look like it was planned. I think you need to tell everybody how you got onto this service. Let them hear from you so that.
Yeah.
While you're saying that, before you tell us how you got onto this service, please, we like questions. Please go on the app Slido. You can type in any question based on what a brother shared with us, or you can make comments. I'm seeing comments already on the Facebook Live feed, and anyone who's there on YouTube, please also, we want to hear from you. Okay, so maybe you need to say this because I'll say something I want to say. For one thing, before you say what you want to say, I'm happy that you've said something, because it always scares me. I won't lie to you. Let me say life. It scares me when people talk about maybe what I did for them or how I impacted them. It scares me because I'm asking myself, I hope I am not molding anybody after my own image. I was so relieved when you said everything, but you are being pointed to Christ. That is very, very key. God gave us the grace. We are still flesh and blood. We still have our weaknesses. But God forbid that God gives us the spiritual oversight and for a season in somebody's life, and we are pointing them to us. I'm happy you said that. So please, so that it will look like, Ohio, come and say this tonight.
No.
How did you get here? How did you get to be part of this Bible study tonight? By the way, we are in Liverpool. The power of media's technology. He's in Hull. Right there.
Leicester.
Sorry, did I say Hull? Leicester. He came from Hull. You know, when you mention Hull, maybe there's something I'll tell you off camera. Because you came with a reputation from Hull. you was very single, handsome, all the single ladies, like the handsome Ohio, very, very good looking man. He's still good looking. So, yes, thank God for the journey from Hull to Liverpool and then to Leicester and to wherever God is leading you to. So how did you get onto this Bible study tonight? Because I want to use that to make a point, really.
I was on the bus heading back from the office. And so, yeah, then I saw a call coming from you. And so I picked, and you were like, can you make yourself available for 7? And I was like, okay, sir. And then you rang my wife to take seek a consent and get her permission.
And her blessing.
And her blessing.
And that's how you came. And were you given any topic to talk about?
No.
Ohio was, I was just here getting ready. I was meant to minister tonight. And my heart just went to him. Just call him to come and share. And this is how I know when it's God leading me to someone. If you said you were not available, then that means God didn't send me to you. So I called him and I said, where are you? You said you were going home from work. So no prior preparation, no fasting 7 days, no topic given to you. I said, Ohio, please. And what time was that?
That was, let me check.
Okay, you're checking the call. The call
5:31.
I called you at 5:31. That 6:31, we will get into the studio. If you can come, are you available? And you said, oh, yes, you are. You know, and I was kind of pleased, you know, please, are you sure you have nothing you're doing? I don't want to take you off your schedule. Are you sure you didn't plan to take your wife out for, you know, dinner tonight and all that? You said, no, that you were going. I said, okay, you know what? Let me call your wife and seek her consent and her blessing. You know, one of the things, the fact that God gives you spiritual oversight over people does not give me the right to violate your will. It doesn't give me control over your life. You know, it's one thing that I've learned, and I'm learning also to make sure I practice. Even if I'm mentoring somebody, it's not like God has not made me Lord. So thank you very much. And I want to especially thank your wife. Because sincerely, if your wife has said, and I'm saying this, if Irene, I know Irene is listening. If Irene has said, we plan to go somewhere tonight, believe me, I will honor. And if she has said, no, I don't want my husband to, I want him by my side. That's it. And no offense, you know. And thank you, Irene. She sent a text, and that text blessed my life. And listen, this is what your wife said about you. I'm not going to read the whole text. He said, I'm editing. Okay. I'm taking myself out of, because she said some things about me there. But she said, I have the husband I do today that models Christ. That's what your wife said about you. If a wife says that about a husband, I'm telling you, I'm impressed. So please, your questions on Slido, very welcome. You know, something just shook me. When you look at Genesis chapter 9, talking about father and son, okay? When you look at Genesis chapter 9, that was when we see Noah and his 3 sons coming out of the ark. And their wives. The Bible says in verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons. And he said to them, Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, is if this can be displayed, and then I need the media to please get Luke chapter 2, verse 51. You said something about Jesus honoring his father. You know, it wasn't just he honored his heavenly father. I will show us he honored the earthly father figure. Because Jesus and Joseph are the clear example of what we mean by a father figure. Because Joseph was not Jesus' biological father.
That's true.
He was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But God still gave him a father figure. Okay? An earthly, fleshly, carnal father figure who was a carpenter. Okay? In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. So, God blessed Noah and his sons. Said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. So, let's stop there. God blessed Noah. God blessed his sons also. God told them to be fruitful. God told them to multiply. God told them to fill the air. Sir, what scared me? One of the sons, and those three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If we go down to verse 22, please hold on. Hold on to that thought. God blessed. So, it means Noah was blessed. Shem was blessed. Ham was blessed. And Japheth was blessed by God. But then look at verse 22 in Genesis chapter 9. And Ham, this is one of the three sons that God blessed, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Verse 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it both on their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away. And they did not see their father's nakedness.
Yeah.
Then verse 24, sir. So Noah woke from his wine and knew that what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, look at this, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. Please, Genesis chapter 9, verse 24. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And verse 26, and he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be his servant. And then he went to verse 27. May God enlarge Japheth. May he dwell in the tents of Shem. And he repeats again. May Canaan be his servant. Sir, God blessed, but no accursed. Do you know what scared me? That guy was cursed. Ill will followed him. Follow his genealogy. You need to do a little Bible study. Those were the people that became the Canaanites. That God now even raised Israel. I think Israel came either from Shem, the lineage of Shem, or thereabout, or Japheth, either of the two. I don't want to give Luke chapter 2, verse 51 is the scripture we are still going to. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Now, looking at his lineage, that shook me. God blessed, but the father cursed, and the curse happened. Honor your father and your mother, sir, that it may be
well with you.
If your father or a father figure places a curse, because I see it in the Bible, you see the patriarchs. When they are dying, they call their children. They will bless this, they will bless that. Look at Reuben. Reuben, was Reuben the firstborn? Was he the one who went to sleep with the father's wife? Go and check his lineage too. So I'm just saying this because, like you said, there are lots of rebellion going on. And when you look at it, one of the things you will see that God compares to witchcraft is actually rebellion. So it's like the sin of witchcraft. So it's so scary when you read, you know, scriptures and things like that. I didn't know you were going to talk about that. You know, at this season that we're praying, I think we need to be brought to remembrance. Yeah. I think the Spirit of God is dealing with us to just remember. Like you said, the Bible says, honor all men. Sir, I always check myself on a very serious note. I may be older than people, but do I disrespect them? Do I dishonor people just because maybe I'm older than you? Or maybe I'm in a position of authority, or a position of strength today. Do I disrespect? Do I dishonor?
It's I think it's something that we really need to reflect on, especially as we are moving into a season where we are waiting on God for instruction to move forward. I think the remembrance part is so key, because I believe God will be showing us places where we have gotten this wrong, where we have not honored, where we've not shown honor to those we should have honored. And I know God is merciful, and if we really are sincere and allow him to show us the state of our hearts and the state of our relations. I mean, in this year, one of the things that God has been showing me and reminding me that I need to fix moving forward is relationships. Relationships that I have trivialized, relationships that I have taken for granted, relationships that I have not invested in. And these things are very costly if you think that, or you, one way in which you dishonor people is that you only see them for what you can get from them. And so when you don't need something at that point in time, you kind of just put them off in your mind. And it's something that God has been dealing with me about. And so there's been a lot of repenting going on, and you know, there's even more positive steps or steps I have to take even as we come to the end of the year. And I just encourage everyone, look at your life. I think it's in James where he talks about, if you only give seats to people who are rich and famous and important, and you disregard those who don't look like they are anything, it's offensive before God. And sometimes, really, who do we honor people because of what we can get from them, or do we honor them just for it is basically what God expects us to do? And it's for our benefit at the end of the day, but it should never be benefit driven, because if it's benefit driven, we will be missing the point.
Honor should not be because you want to, because of what you can get from somebody. That's why you're honoring them. You're honoring them because it's the right thing to do, because God said it. Honor all men. Luke chapter 2, you know, the spirit of the last days, the Bible, you know, Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 captures it. One of it is that people will be lovers of themselves. So it's about me. If it benefits me, yes. If it doesn't benefit me, honor goes out of the window. You know? He says, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It's highlighted. You know, God help us. So Luke chapter 2, look at Jesus. Okay. The background to this is Luke chapter 2, verse 51 was when Jesus went with his parents to the temple. They went to Jerusalem, and when they were coming back, they couldn't find him. And they were looking for him for 3 days. So they found him in the temple talking to lawyers and doctors. And they said, "Oh, what are you doing, Jesus? We've been searching for you." He was a young boy at this time. He was like, I think according to the Bible, the chronology there, was around 12. "So we've been searching for you. Where have you been?" He said, "Oh, should I not go about my father's business? Why are you looking for me? You know, I'm simply doing what? Pursuing my father's business." And then verse 50 tells us that, you know, they didn't really understand what he meant at that point. But then verse 51 says, look at honor. "And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth." Look at this, sir. "And was subject to them." To who? Mary and Joseph.
Wow. Yeah.
The next time you will hear about Jesus from 12, we hear it was when he was 30. One day I asked the Holy Spirit, what was he doing between 12 and 30? The Bible doesn't capture it. And I got a simple answer. It was there. That's the answer. Subject to his parents. He was under authority, learning. He was a carpenter. Carpenter, learning the trade, learning how to be a son. Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are. We went through everything. You know, I remember was my mentor. You know, I say this openly. Like you said, I have people I look up to. Speaking to me, they call me. I must speak. I must be there. I misbehave. I tell my wife, "You know the people to call. I should misbehave." People will tell me, "Sit down there," and I will sit. People who will summon me. And I must go. When they summon me. Not because of anything. This is not worshiping man. This is obeying the word of God. I don't want to die. Like you said, anyone who's under no authority becomes an authority to themselves. And they are
dangerous.
They're dangerous. Very dangerous. Very. I see this. A man wants to marry a woman. And, you know, they come, we want counseling. Oh, please do that. Counsel us. All the while they are doing, you know, ticking the box. It's just like ticking the box that, yeah, we went through counseling. The moment they marry, sir, the moment they marry, you see the man warning the wife. I'm telling you, I've seen this over and over. If you ever talk to that pastor again, if you... Let me tell you one of the things I like about I used the two of you to preach behind your back, you and Irene. I said these two people are real people. If you want two real couple, I said I will go and meet Irene and Ohio. Real. Is it fight? No, I'm not watching learning dirty linen, am I?
We tell people
you are modeling Christ.
We
is
tell people
that I've not settled between the two of you. Is it a disagreement? And the way the two of you are real people, very real, no pretense. You know, look at Jesus, subject to them. Okay, there's a question on Slido. And thank you, thank you, AY, for confirming Israel came from Shem. And look at the blessing Noah placed on Shem. You know, and he said, "Canaan will be a servant." Israel went and possessed the land of the Canaanites because Noah, father, said it. Did God bless him? God blessed him. but the father cursed him.
I think that also it is something. I remember there was something we used to talk about in Love Assembly. I remember then about it was this issue about the TV. The time that I think it was Noah who.
Oh, okay.
Something happened to the TV, and you heard, and you were coming back, and you know, God spoke to you in terms of like,
oh wow,
what? And that really it affected me because, and this was way before I got married, before I got married and had children, but it made me really think about how we react and or what we do when we are angry. And it's so funny because recently the issue with the TV then happened to me. And my daughter was playing with a pebble or something and somehow hit the TV. Smashed the TV and I was like, oh, okay. And I then suddenly remembered that teaching and I was like, okay, so finally this is the test. And, you know, thank God I didn't fail because I was angry. I had all sorts of emotions going through. But I realized that at the end of the day, what is the value of the TV?
That's right.
Compared to the child, one. And two, what you say in moments like that, they could either be a blessing or a curse. You could lose your child at that point. You could lose them at the turmoil of the things you say. So we need to be very careful. You know, if we understand the power of our words, especially when we have the authority backing it, then we will speak. We will choose our words carefully. Noah definitely was not thinking about that.
Right. So let's look at the question, and very, very good question. Straight from the heart, it says, "How do you deal with that has been absent from your life for many years, but starts resenting those who have been there for you when you draw closer to him?" Let me repeat the question so that I can sink. How do you deal with a dad that has been absent from your life for many years, but starts resenting those who have been there for you when you now draw closer to him? Now, number one, let's know one thing. We are all human. It's not an excuse. The Bible says God understands our frailty. We are human. We have emotions. We have feelings. For as long as we are emotion-driven, all these things will come. Anger, wrath, envy, jealousy, you know. I can tell a story, at least the people involved now are dead. One is my earthly, my biological father, who's late, like you all know. And he raised one of his was a nephew. Literally, this guy, I'm not joking, the parents abandoned him because he was disabled. They raised, literally, till the guy, you know, to the glory of God, stand on his own and live a normal life to the fullest. Now, the day the guy was getting married, in fact, it happened twice. One was a nephew, one was a niece. One happened to my dad, one happened to my mom. You know, I don't know if my family is watching, they know who it is, but, you know, I've learned to just share true stories. There's no point talking about fables. The day the guy was getting married, the father showed up. And the father gave public testimony. Thanking the girl that my cousin was getting married to publicly. Say, finally, I thank you for the honor you've finally given me. For if not for you, my son they took away from me, I would not have seen him again. In other words, said it openly that my parents, who took the child you abandoned, nurtured him, brought him up, took your child away from you. My parents were hurt. Thank God I was a Christian then. With my little understanding, tell them, listen, you did what you could do. God knows what you did. It's God who rewards. Let the man take the glory. Let him enjoy his 5 minutes of fame. Don't fight him. Heaven knows what you did. Earth knows what you did. The son in question knows what you did. And I'm telling you, I saw the reward in the life of my parents. Twice it happened on both sides. Another, you know, was female. So in this context, what I'm just trying to say is that the dad is human. It's not new. I'm just giving the person that, look, what's happening to you is not, the Bible says there's no temptation. Temptation, in other words, is tribulation, trial. There's nothing you are going through that is not common to man. It's not new. So what did the man do in that case? He resented. He said, my parents were the one who took the away. He said, no problem. At the end of the day, God will come with his reward now. Even the parties concerned today, tomorrow, are saying that, forget it, you are not in my life. So you won't now come and cause me to dishonor the people who brought me up, who are the father figure. But even with that, I will not dishonor you. You know, I love what one of them did. Even with anger and everything, but later, no. You are my father, you've done what you could do. But you know what? I will not dishonor you. I will do my part as a daughter. And unfortunately, you know, the man is late now. But we were thanking God that she played that role of honoring that man who was not never there. Evil, wicked. Till he died. Our conscience today is clear that when he was not there, I did not repay evil with evil. So the man will be, for as long as he's allowing his emotions, he's going to resent anybody. It might just be a way of him to feeling good, trying to dampen, you know, people do bad things and they want to justify it. And the only way they can justify is they must put other people down. They must put other people down. So what I will say, no matter what, just know that whatever the dad is doing is normal. When I say normal, with the flesh. But don't dishonor the man. And thank God for those who are there for you. Don't dishonor them. Never forget what they did. But give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God's. In this case, God says honor. Honor means honor. And if you want to pray, and we will pray as we close, that some of these things, let the Holy Spirit interpret. Because everybody's story is different.
True.
And one thing, sir, the heart of everybody, God sees, God knows, the heart of kings is in the hands of God. You overcome evil with good. We overcome darkness with light. You don't repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yeah. No. Don't. It's a temptation, sir. The devil knows the Bible. And the devil will want to make such people dishonor Because the devil knows the Bible. The devil knows the Bible. Now, it's a strong message, tough message tonight. Very, very tough message. I've seen, you know, privileged pastoring people, and I see this thing that's wrong in this person's life is because they are dishonoring their parents. Nothing else. And I don't deceive myself, sir. Let me say this. When I watch people who dishonor their biological parents and they want to kind of honor me, I am not deceived. I'm not. If you can do that to your own earthly parents, one day you will do it to me. I'm not deceived. God is not deceived. So what do we try to do? Please honor. Get them, give them the truth. And I pray, whose son, what kind of son do you want to be? And please put daughter there too. What kind of child do you want to do? And going ahead with a decision your parents disagree with, even believed to be the yielding of the Holy Spirit, be considered as dishonoring your parents? Very big question. Listen, don't forget one thing. The heart of your parents, they are in the hands of God. God is never the author of confusion. Never. If there's a decision with your parents, tell them you believe this is what God is telling you to do. Don't fight. Don't fret. Just tell them. And let God deal with them. You know the mistake we make? We now start fighting the parents. This is what God said, and I don't care what you think. You will soon care when they curse you.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Sir, many, I'm telling you, sir, people we have pastor, people we've interacted with, go against their parents' decision. Don't marry this person. The Holy Spirit told me to marry the person. They go ahead and marry. Of course, they are both Christians. They marry as Christians. But, sir, I've seen problems. And I will never, for as long as I have the privilege to nurture, pastor anybody, tell anybody to go against their parents' wish. Tell the Holy Spirit that told you to go and deal with your parents. Sir, I just gave us scripture. Who blessed Noah and his sons? God. But Noah cursed. Why did he curse the guy? Out of anger. Will it be considered as dishonoring? If you don't obey scriptures, that is dishonoring your parents. So if the Bible says honor and you dishonor them, that's what to do. I've had situations. I disagree with my own parents. I know this is what God is telling me to do. And I simply tell them, this is, Lord, you told me to do this. You know, and I'm following you. But I will now start playing some hyper-spiritual person, you know, against my own parents because I have the monopoly of the Holy Spirit. That's the way to go. The same Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he convicts the world of sin. Tell God to go and speak to your parents. For as long as you are under their authority. The Bible says something, Proverbs. Say even your parents, when they are old, even hearken to them. There are many things my parents, before they died, in their old age, saved me from. I still run things. I run things through them, even though we disagree. And there are times that I felt like, oh boy, I'm sorry, I've dishonored my parents here. I'm happy we were able to, you know, to resolve things before they died. So please, what do I do when my child does not honor me? Pray, teach, nurture, train. Sir, let me give that person a final answer. Please, when your child does not honor you, ask yourself, because you might think you two are clean. Maybe you two are dishonoring somebody that you should actually honor. But if you search yourself and the Holy Spirit gives you a clean bill, then you need to pray, keep praying, and train. But you see, I'm suspecting too, sir, that word child there is not child anymore. I don't know who asked that question. We're not dealing with a child anymore now. We're dealing with an adult there who was once a child. It's a child we can train, not an adult. Train up a child in the way which he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. So if he's still a child, we can train. If he's now an adult, we can pray.
Pray.
Final word from you tonight, sir.
Yeah, just
we just got to go and deal with ourselves and let the Holy Spirit deal with us tonight. I'm telling you, I'm touched here. Yeah,
you're so right, sir. We have control over some decisions in our life, but we don't have control over who our parents are. And God doesn't give us perfect parents. He gives us the parents that are perfect for us and what we are.
That's right.
Our purpose. Yeah. So you may be thinking you got the worst deal. You may be thinking that if you had that other person's father or that other person's mother, your life would be better and you wouldn't be where you are.
Big lie.
But at the end of the day, God doesn't make mistakes.
Nope.
So that is the father he gave you. He gave you that father for a reason. So just the same way I said about my sojourn into Liverpool, sometimes we focus on all the externals and everything rather than asking the one who gave you that father. Why is my father this way? You might find out some things that would change your mind about why your father is that way.
Glory
you might find out that your father didn't have a father. You might find out that your father is basically fathering you from the deficiencies he had in his own life.
That's right.
And sometimes these things will change your perspective and you might then have compassion rather than hatred towards that father.
Wow.
So perhaps you are seeing things the wrong way.
Perspective.
You go to God. and it's one of the things we're doing here in terms of to remind you of things that he has said. He may have told you things, but maybe in the pain of him not being there, you might not realize that it might even be from a place of resentment to yourself that is coloring your eyes as to how he is reacting to the people that you said brought you up. So it might be bitterness. And if you are bitter, for all intents and purposes, you have every right to be bitter. If your father wasn't there, why wouldn't you be bitter? So I think there's a lot of Holy Spirit you should ask the Holy Spirit to do in you rather than focusing on your father. You can't change your father. Only God can change your father. But God can change you and change your heart. He can give you a heart of love, even for the most. Because if Jesus told us that, we should love those who hate us, God wouldn't tell us something that he does not give us the capacity to do. He said loving people who love you is easy, that everybody does that. But loving the people who, hate you and treat you anyhow, it takes a grace. So ask God for the grace to love your father despite his tantrums, despite his behavior, which is, clearly affecting you. And God will give you that grace if you ask. And that might be what changes. I would like you to go and look at the life of Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer had a very tumultuous relationship with her father.
Abusive father, yeah.
Yes, and God kept on telling her to still go and take care of him. And she, you could, raise your concerns with God. Tell him, why do I have to do this? But like that second son, make sure you obey what God says. And eventually her father, before he died, Joyce Meyer's father, he gave his life to Christ. So you might actually be in his life because God knows that you are that person that might tilt the scale to finally bring him to Christ. So let God deal with your heart.
Yeah. We forget that life does not end here.
Mm.
With eternity at the back of our minds and in view, if that influences our choices, our conduct, our character, how we treat people, how we relate people, it would make a massive, massive difference.
That's true.
People, remember, honor. God bless you and thank you for joining us tonight. And Father, I commend myself, Ohio, everyone listening, our families, our brothers, our brethren, sisters. Holy Spirit, there are many things you've stirred up tonight. Just help us. The things we could not articulate, the things we cannot say, the things we couldn't explain, the things we want to teach but we can't, because you are still dealing with us too.
Yes.
Take the glory.
Amen.
We pray right now for everyone going through any struggles with either honoring or feeling dishonored. Let there be healing. Let there be reconciliation.
Amen.
Let your truth set us free.
Amen.
And Lord, what we've heard, everyone, may we leave this place tonight to go and do. May we not rush away. Let your name be glorified. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. I come against Satan, principalities, powers. You cannot steal this word.
Amen.
This word will not be stolen from our hearts. Pressures of life will not crush this word. Concerns, worries will not choke.
Amen.
Every heart that has heard this will be fruitful. Some will bear 30, 60, some 100-fold, but we will bear fruit.
Amen.
To the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Prof. Ohio.
Thank you.
I feel honored that you could pick my phone call and you're here. See how much of a blessing you have been. Thank you, Irene, for yielding to the Spirit of God and releasing your husband. And God bless your daughter and your son.
Amen.
They will honor you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And they will bring peace to you.
Amen.
Adult age.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. We'll hand over to our media people.